So who's got some good beards going on in here? Because it's almost No Shave November. You don't have a beard. You're a girl. Some of you guys, man, it's almost No Shave November. You got to get it going. You know what I'm saying? So I'll see you November 1st. All right. Let's see if you guys can beat Faez's beard. How many of you guys have seen Pastor Faez's beard going on? It's awesome. Anyway, let's see if you can beat him. Give him some competition. All right. So, hey, what are we studying? What did that commercial? Well, it's on the board. Go ahead. Just look. I mean the screen. Yeah.
The family plan.
The family plan. And why is it family? Oh, nice. Teaching us how to connect to God and to others, right? And so what did we say the Bible is kind of all about? If we could sum it up in like one word, really, really general, what does the Bible deal with and talk a lot about? Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Relationships.
Relationships. What kind of relationships? Between who and who? Us and God. Yep. And then what else? Us and other people. That's why it's connecting with God and others. It's about our relationship with Jesus, with God, with each other and people that we meet. And so we're kind of looking at a series talking about relationships. So we've already studied that the very first place we need to start with relationships is where? Do you guys remember what's the first step? The most important relationship out there. Yeah, between you and God. That's the very first one. And so can I have really healthy relationships in my life if I'm not tight in a relationship with God? No. So that's the most important one. I need to know who God is. And I have to know how to relate to Him and know what He expects of me and what He's done for me. And so we looked at that one week. And then last week we looked at something that was going to help us as we go on this kind of conversation about relationships. What was it? What is this thing that helps like guide us? What?
Bible.
The Bible. Yeah. We said it's kind of like an instruction manual, right? Have any of you guys ever tried to put something together that you just bought? Maybe something you have? What have you tried to do?
Legos.
All right, cool. Legos are awesome. Anyone see the new Lego movie? Anybody? Yeah, all of you. Cool. What else? Has anyone tried to put together like a remote control car or something like super like mechanical without using the instruction manual? You have? Well, what did you put together?
A light bulb.
A light bulb? What?
Like thing,
you're like Thomas Edison? You're crazy.
I like the fun stuff.
Whoa. Wait, you're way too smart for me. I can't understand. Yeah. What did you do?
Well, this is kind of simple, even though it shouldn't have been for my age, because usually kids back then didn't, at that age, doesn't know how to color something.
Okay.
I hooked up one of those very old
computers. Whoa. What? You built a computer by yourself?
Well, not built it.
But you hooked it all up? That's pretty crazy. All right, cool. What did you do?
I have this thing around my light in my room. And it looks like, I don't know what it looks like.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I had to make it myself.
All right, well, that's cool. Awesome. Well, I've tried to put stuff together with and without instruction manuals, and I will tell you that I am the guy who always goes and like, if I don't have a manual, I'll Google it. I'll go straight to Google and figure it out, because if I try to put something together, I am not handy in any way. It will turn out like upside down and backwards and inside out and totally wrong and won't work. But people like Mr. Crawford or Justin, those guys, man, they don't even need instruction manuals. They just go. But as we look at relationships, this instruction manual is a must. There's no way that any of us are ever going to be able to figure out relationships in a healthy, God-honoring way without having an instruction manual. So last week, we talked about the Bible, and we talked about how that is our instruction manual for life and for how we can look at these relationships. So this week, we start looking at actual relationships. What do you think the first category of relationships is going to be that we're going to study? Any guesses? Well, we did that one, right? We did that first. But with people, what do you think is the first one? Family. You're right. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. That's the amily in our faramily plan, all right? So we're looking at that tonight. And guess what? Here's good news. Because we said that God's most important and that He gave us this awesome book. It's our instruction manual called the Bible. So I went to the Bible. And I said, what does the Bible teach us about family? You know that like the whole Old Testament pretty much talks about families? All sorts of examples of different families and that we can look at for examples. Can you guys name any of those? What families do we see in the Old Testament?
I don't know if it's the Old Testament,
try. It is the Old Testament. Ding, ding, ding. Winner right there. Good. Abraham. Yeah, absolutely. He's the father of like many nations. Anyone else?
And
Adam and Eve. We're going to look at that tonight. Good. Any others? Any other families that we can study? Families in the Old Testament. What are some examples of families? Ruth. We're going to look at that one too. Look at you guys right on. Luke. Noah. Absolutely. Any others? You can't raise your hand for someone else. Oh, Isaac. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yep. All right, good. Joseph. We got all sorts of different families that we can look at through the Old Testament. So the cool thing is that the Bible has lots of examples for us when we talk about family. So let's start back where you said, somebody said, I lost track. In Genesis. Who said Genesis? Who was it? It was you, right? You don't remember? Well, yeah, that's Genesis. I'm sorry. Adam and Eve, absolutely. So look at Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. We're going to look at Adam and Eve. Let's just go to the very beginning. Let's see what happens. Do you guys know the story of Adam and Eve, by the way? Who could help me out with the story? What happens? Yeah. Okay, stop right there. Perfect. God created Adam and Eve. That's what I want to look at tonight. So that's awesome. Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. Just two verses. I want you to peek right there for me where God's actually creating man. How cool is that part? Because that's when we come into the whole story. It's really neat. Verse 27 says this. So God created man. Bingo. Good job. Look how he created them. Can anyone read that? What's the next three words? Four words. I can't count. Ethan? In his own image. What does that mean? Does anyone have any ideas? God created man in his own image. What is that? That's a tricky one, huh? Yeah. How he pictures him? That's a good guess. Any other ideas? Yeah. Okay. Jesus is our great high priest and relates to us. These are good guesses. We're going to dig into that a little bit so we can figure out what exactly his own image means. It says, in the image of God, he created them. See, it was really, really important part because he repeats it twice, doesn't it? It says, created man in his own image. And just in case you didn't get that part, let me say it again. In the image of God, he created him. See, he says it twice because it's really important. And he wants you to understand that you weren't just made just, let me just stick you out there, get this ball of clay and just, oh, there you go, you're good. And you weren't made just like dogs and cats and donkeys and whales. You weren't made just like a rock or a star. You were made very, very, very special. So special because you bear the image of God. Now, we could go on for a long, long time about what all that means, but here's one thing I want you to know. Part of what that means, a very small part, is that God is a relational being. God, who knows what we call God? What is God like? I'm trying not to give away the answer. But when we talk about God as a person, how would you describe him? Jesus. Yahweh. Our King. Alpha and Omega. These are great. I'm just going to let you keep going. Go ahead. Over here. Almighty. Holy Spirit. Okay, so you need the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We've named. Okay, so what is that? The Trinity, right? God's a Trinity. You know that God is three persons in one God? Now your mind's like, what? I don't get it. My mind's short-circuiting. I can't understand that. That's okay. It's too big for us to understand, but here's what I want you to get from it. God's relational. God didn't wake up one day and go, I'm so lonely, I better go create man because I'm lonely. I need someone to talk to. God never did that. God had perfect communion within himself. He was a relational being, and so he created us to be relational beings. And that's part of the image of God on us. And so what happens is, look what he says next. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, what does he tell them to do? You see that? Can someone read that next part? What does he say? God said to them what? Mm-hmm. Stop right there. Perfect. Good job. Be fruitful and multiply. Go have a family. He says, Adam, I made you in my image. And because I made you in my image, you want to be a relational person. You like friends. You like relationships. You like other people because you're like me. And so here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to make you this beautiful, hot, smoking wife over here, and I'm going to call her Eve, and she's going to be your wife. And so here you go. This is what I want you two to do as you relate together. I want you to have a family. You know what God does? He institutes the most important relationship unit in our lives, your family. Now today, some of us might not like get that because in our culture today, sometimes family is like the last thing we think of. We rush out the door in the morning. We forget them about them all day long. We come home and we just go to bed. We're like, good night, everybody. Bye. And you barely spend any time with your family. So sometimes in our minds, we get this idea that like, wait, family is really that important? But God says family is the most important relationships, human-wise, in your life. That God set it up that way so that your family is super important. Because as he took Adam and Eve, he said, hey, go have a family. And look what he says next. He says, and subdue it. Well, what does subdue your family mean? Like, what exactly does that mean? See, when I first read it, I thought he was talking about the earth. So I was like, oh, wait, he's talking about go subdue the animals and nature and stuff, right? Wrong. Because look, after he says, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds and every living creature. That's separate. When he says subdue it, he's talking about the people that he just multiplied and made, his family. What does the word subdue mean? That sounds like a big word. Anybody know? Ethan? All right. So there's like leadership involved in that, what you just described, right? So Adam's supposed to be a leader in his family. Adam's supposed to protect his family. Adam's supposed to love his family. And so what basically this is describing is that Adam disciples his family. He actually teaches his family how to love God, how to have a relationship with God and within their family. So, do you know that I have different classes that I do with some of your parents come to them? And what we talk about with your parents is ways that we can help them do this for you. That your dad and your mom can disciple you and teach you about God and how to obey him and love him, how to have a relationship with him. Why do we do that? Because God designed it that your family does this thing called discipleship, that your mom and dad are teaching you how to love Jesus. Sometimes you think, oh, yeah, I come to church so that you guys can teach me about Jesus. And absolutely, we love teaching you about Jesus. But do you know that the most important people in your life that are going to teach you about Jesus are your mom and dad? That your family, God designed that to be the way you learn about God. And so this family relationship is super, super important. But here's the deal. Some of us don't have awesome, awesome pictures of families that you'd see and that we might even be talking about here. Sometimes life can be tough. You know that my family was a little weird growing up. My mom was married twice before she married my dad. And I remember that the guy that she married before she got saved and married my dad was just a total mean dude. He was just mean. And I remember I have another brother, and this was his dad. So we would drive him over to the house and drop him off to be with his dad. And his dad would come out and be really mad and yell and say all this mean stuff. And be like, oh, this guy's really grumpy and really mean. And I was like, my family's so messed up. That's what it felt like sometimes. Well, you know what? Shortly after, really cool thing, my mom and dad got saved. I started going to church and learning about Jesus. And that my dad ended up leading his dad to Jesus. And then all of a sudden, he started babysitting me. And I would go over to their house and like be babysat by my mom's ex-husband. And then I grew up thinking he was my uncle because God had saved him and just redeemed my whole family. And now I look out there and I actually see him as my own uncle. It was the weirdest thing. He goes from being this grumpy old mean guy and my family a whole mess. And God came in and said, listen, I love you and I can restore even broken families. So if you're here tonight and we're talking about this family that seems so perfect because God made it that way, and you're like, my family's not like that, it's okay. I can relate to you. I understand that. But I don't want you to think that anything's wrong with you because, listen, God could come and restore your family too. God's really good at that. And God loves you and has a design, a perfect plan for you. And so as we talk about families, if you're sitting here and you're like, man, Rob, my family's not like that. Like, I might not even live with my family. There's some of us that probably don't even have mom and dad anymore. There's some of us who mom and dad are divorced or fighting, or we just don't have a great family situation. I want you to know that God loves you and that God has a plan for you and that God can restore broken families. So I don't want you to feel bad tonight as we talk about this. I just want you to know that you have a big God who can do awesome stuff in your life just like he did in mine, and that he's got a plan to disciple you, okay? So let's keep looking at this awesome thing called family in Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to jump ahead, fast forward the Bible a little bit. We're going to the New Testament now, and we're going to look in Ephesians 6 because Paul, this awesome apostle Paul, talks to us a little bit more about families. And he says, hey, listen, since family is so important and God created us that way through Adam and Eve when he set family up, this is what you need to know about it, okay? Because you are part of your family, right? So all like the whole like burden's not just on mom and dad to teach you. Listen what your responsibility is because you're a part of your family. Here it is. Ephesians 6 verses 1 to 4. He's talking to you. So listen, he says, children, anybody a child in here? Anybody like... You were born? Anybody born to like a mom and dad? You have, okay, cool. So that's pretty much all of us. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, okay, now he's switching it. He's talking to moms and dads now. Like, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. But, look what he says to him, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. All right, so you guys actually have a responsibility in this whole family thing. Your job isn't just wake up in the morning, eat your cool, like, Wheaties or whatever you guys eat, like, Honey Pops. What do you guys eat for cereal? Anything awesome? Anything good out there lately? I like the ones that have, like, colorful marshmallows, because marshmallows are, like, pure sugar. So good. Lucky Charms is the best. Anyway, we're not talking about cereal. Your job isn't just wake up, eat awesome cereal, and go to school and let mom and dad serve you. Sorry to say, sometimes you might feel that way, because mom and dad are so awesome to you. But that's not your only job. There is some responsibility for you and your family. Yeah, even you, because he says, children, you're not too young to take on this responsibility. Because your job in a family is to relate, right? That's a relationship. We're all a part of it. So, here's what he says. Children, what's the next word? Obey. Dun, dun, dun. Some of you guys, you're like quivering. Oh, I don't like obeying. You're like, no. Mom and dad tell me to do stuff all the time. I hate cleaning my room, right? Anybody? Anybody hate cleaning the room? Yeah. Some of you are all like, no, I don't mind it because I don't do it. I'm too cool for that. I see you. I see you. I know who you are because I was you. So obeying is really, really important. And it's not just because mom or dad said so. You ever get that? How come I got to do that, mom? Because I said so. Right? Right? You hate that answer, don't you? That's not the only reason, although you might hear it often, that you should obey your parents. God's going to tell us through Paul right now why. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You see that phrase there, in the Lord? You know why you're obeying mom and dad? Because what did we say are the two most important things? Love God and love people. You obey mom and dad because you love and respect mom and dad. And because you love and respect God. And he's given you into that family for a reason. And so that's why he follows it up with this quote from the Old Testament. See what he says next? He wants to further explain this so we really get it. He says, honor your father and mother. He takes it up a notch. Don't just obey them to obey them. Don't just go clean your room. Don't just do that. Honor them in the way you do it. So I was like, what is this word honor? Why would he choose, like, why are there two different words here? You know that the word honor actually means to estimate the value of. Have you ever seen Antique Roadshow? Anybody see that, like, ever? Or, like, your parents watch or something? You guys don't watch that? All right, so let's say, they moved it on me. All right, I'm going to use a podium. Let's pretend I went to this thing called Antique Roadshow, which is a show on TV, and I brought my podium with me because it looked really old, and I sat it here. I'm like, isn't it beautiful? Look at this thing. It's gorgeous. It's old. And so then there's this dude from Antique Roadshow, and he stands there in his little suit, and he's all stuffy, like, and he's looking at it, and he's like inspecting it and being all like staunchy. And so I'm like, how much is it worth? And he tells me, well, based on the markings on this thing, and he's like looking at it, he's like, it's really old. And he tells me that's worth like $2 billion. I'm like, whoa, yes, this is great. Or he's like, bro, it's a podium. Get this out of my face, all right? So one or the other. But he's going to tell me, and that's what happens on the show, right? Like sometimes it's awesome, sometimes it's just not even worth bringing. Well, what they're doing is telling the person the value of the object that they brought. Is this worth a lot? Oh, yeah. And you're like, woohoo, yeah, I'm buying a new car. I'm going to sell this thing. Or no, it's not worth very much. And you're like, oh, I came all the way out here with this stinking thing, and then you walk off. This word honor is very similar to that. This word honor says that you are showing the value of someone or something by the way you act toward it. So when Paul says, obey your parents, and then says, honor your parents, what he's really saying is, act in a way toward mom and dad that shows just how valuable they really are. Show them by the way you treat them and obey them and respect them and love them and follow what they say and don't mouth off back to them when they ask you to do something. Show them the value by honoring them of how much they're really worth. And so this is more than just some like behavior thing where you follow the rules at home. This is glorify God by the way that you show your parents how much you care and respect and love them. So this is a really cool relationship that you have. It's not just mom and dad. It's you giving back to mom and dad. And look what it says next. This is the first commandment with a promise. Well, what promise? Anybody, you guys like ever make promises to people? Anybody ever make a promise? Do you keep your promises? It's good to keep promises, right? Well, here God gives a promise. And he keeps his promises. And so what he says here is this commandment about honoring your father and mother is the very first one that comes with a promise. And he tells us what this promise is. You see it? Verse 3 says, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. And you're like, wait a minute. What does that promise mean? Like, I'm going to live long in what land, Rob? Like in Florida? Like, where am I going? Disneyland? What is the promise he's talking about? What'd you say? Heaven. Absolutely. Here's how we're going to get there, because you just jumped a really cool jump here. But what Paul's saying is that as you obey mom and dad, if mom and dad's heart is that you know Jesus, and that's what he says next, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of who? The Lord. So his parents' goal is to disciple you and tell you who God is and tell you who Jesus is and help you have a relationship with him. If you actually obey them and honor them and listen to them, you know what's going to happen? You're going to grow in Jesus. Because you're following people who have a heart to say, I want you to know God. And so when you obey and honor them, guess what? You know God. And you find salvation in Jesus, and you dwell long in the land, means that you find this awesome relationship of salvation with Jesus Christ because you have parents that love you to death and they want you to know who this Jesus is. Now, that tells me that you have a big, big part to play in your family. That mom and dad could do all they want to try to do, but if you don't have a willing heart to listen, if you don't have a willing heart to obey and honor mom and dad as they're trying to teach you, then it's going to make their job really, really hard. And the best thing for you is for you to honor them and listen to them because they want the best for you. And they want to teach you who Jesus is if you listen and you'll obey and you'll honor them. So, I want you to stop for a second and go, do I do that? How's my relationship with mom and dad? Am I the one who's like, everything mom and dad say, I'm fighting it? Or I'm whining and complaining, like, I don't want to do that. And your mom and dad ask you to do something, and you're always like, or are you the person who's like, I love my parents, and I want to obey them, and sometimes it's hard, but man, let's pray together that you can do that. Let's pray together that God would give you the strength to listen and obey and love your parents as they're discipling you to know Jesus better. Because you have a big part to play in that, in this family relationship. Now, I had some, when I worked in Guatemala in the orphanage there, there were these two little kids that I loved. It was my job to help out with an adoption. They were about to get adopted and to a couple here in the United States. And they're a brother and sister. And the boy was named Kevin, and the girl was Floridalma. Pretty little name. Cute little kids. And the way that they came to the orphanage was that their parents were basically drug dealers. And they were also drug users. And so what they would do is they used little cute Kevin and Floridalma when they were just little teeny kids, and they would send them off into the markets. And they would say, don't come back to us unless you have things that you stole from that market. And they would tell them how much they expected them to have when they came back. Don't even come back here. Don't expect to come back and get food. Don't expect us to give you anything to eat until you come back with enough that we've told you to bring back. And so they would go out and they would go through the market. Nobody would suspect them because they were just cute little kids, you know, and they would randomly just grab stuff and steal things and bring it back to their parents. And the parents would then take that stuff and sell it or trade it off for drugs. Well, eventually they got caught. And so Kevin and Floridalma got brought to the orphanage and taken away from their parents. Sad, sad, sad story. And so you might be sitting here tonight, you're like, well, Rob, like, I'm honestly just not in a family that pours into me or cares about God or even goes to church. Am I supposed to do everything that people tell me? Like, no. Do you notice what this says here? This says, obey your parents in the Lord. So if we look at, can you guys turn that off real quick? If you look at Kevin and Floridalma and their family, do you think they had to obey their parents? And God would be really mad if they said no when they're like, hey, go steal stuff? Is that tricky? Do they still have to obey mom and dad and go break the law and do things that wouldn't honor God? No. Because it says in the Lord. You obey mom and dad as long as mom and dad are asking you to do things that honor God. And the tough part is that if you have a family that doesn't do that and they ask you to do things that make God mad, then you don't have to say, okay, I'll go do it. It's okay for you to say, no, I believe in the Lord. And that's a hard thing to do. That's a really, really hard thing to do. But honoring the Lord says, honoring your parents says that you will honor them in the Lord. And hopefully you do have come from family that loves God and wants to pour into you. But if you're not there and you don't have that type of relationship or family, I'd love to talk to you. I would love for you to stop me later and let's just sit down and talk and chat. And we could talk more about that, okay? But hopefully I'm just going to assume now that where most of us are from really sweet families, because I know a lot of your parents that really love Jesus and they're pouring into you. So here's what I want you to know. Do your part. Honor them. Help them as they're trying to teach you about Jesus and they want you so desperately to know him. Respect and honor your parents and help them out, okay? The last thing I want to show you tonight is talking about your responsibilities. 1 Timothy 5:8, okay? Last verse I'm going to show you, it says, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for members of his household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So you have this responsibility as a child in your family whose parents are trying to love you and pour into you and teach you Jesus. Your responsibility is to honor them. Help them disciple you. Next, look what it says up here. It says, provide for your relatives. You're like, wait a minute. How am I supposed to do that? I don't even have a job, Rob. Like, what am I going to do? How am I going to provide for my relatives? Well, listen to the heart of what he's trying to say here, because Paul was actually telling Timothy, hey, listen, there's some people in your church. There's some widows that need to be taken care of, and they're trying to decide, like, who should be taken care of and who shouldn't be. And he says, the first thing when there's people that are in need, see if they have family. And if they have family, the family should be the ones taking care of those people. You know, that tells us the truth that tells us about you and me in this relationship with our family, as we're supposed to love each other and respect each other and honor each other. We're also supposed to provide for each other. We're supposed to take care of each other. And actually, it's the most important thing that we can do for one another, aside from showing each other Jesus, is taking care of each other. And you're like, well, how am I supposed to do that? Well, don't ask me. I want you to ask God that. God, in what ways can I practice providing for my family, loving my family well? My question would be this. As you sit at the dinner table, and if you have a brother or sister, are you the one who's always like fighting over that last piece of food on the table? Like some of you guys are like, that's me, you already know. Like, no, he got a bigger piece. You know, you're looking out for number one. Or let's say brother or sister got something that you didn't get, and then you're the first one to like go to mom and dad and be like, what's up? How come I didn't get this? You know, to like complain. Are you always looking out for number one? Or are you putting yourself second and loving your family to put them first? Because really the heart of this, not that you're going to go out all of a sudden right now and get a job to start like feeding the world. That's not what it's saying. But the heart is that you'd have a heart that says, I want to put my family before myself. I want to be willing to sacrifice for the people in my family that I love, that I'm involved in this awesome relationship with, and make sure they're first. I don't want to be the selfish guy who's always like, what about me? But I want to be the one that says, man, what can I do for you? Do you know that you would absolutely blow the minds of your parents if you went out and did some like awesome act of kindness for them without them expecting it? What if you just came home and all of a sudden all the chores were done that weren't even your chores to do and your mom was just like, what? What did you do? Pigs are flying outside by the window right now. Like, this is crazy. What's going on? Because you were willing to sacrifice for the people that you love. And you know why? So you can impress them and get better like stuff later and they'll buy you gifts? No! No! Because you honor them. You show them how much they're worth, and you're willing to say, just like Jesus said, love God and love others like myself. I'm willing to put you before me. I'm willing to say that my family is worth showing Jesus through both my words and my actions. So I want you guys to think about that this week. I want you to pray and ask God and say, Lord, what are some ways that I can serve my family well? Are there ways, are there things that I could do or just a note of encouragement that I could write or just start praying for mom and dad? Is there something that God would have you do in your family to bless them and love them and honor them this week and hopefully for the rest of your lives? All right? So, with that being said, close your eyes and let's pray and I'll let you guys go to fire stations. Father, we love you. And God, I just thank you for giving us this awesome dynamic of family. That we don't have to be thrown on this earth all alone to wander and not even know where we belong, but we have a place to belong. We have people that love us. And Jesus, tonight, we think about people around this world who don't have that. We think about orphans who have no family. We think about people who have lost their family to death. Lord, we think about people in Africa right now who have lost their whole families to Ebola. And our heart breaks for them. And Lord, we ask you to be a big God for them, to show them that true family is found in Jesus Christ, that they have a family of believers that love them if they believe in the Lord. And Lord, we just want to thank you right now for the families we have, for how privileged we are and blessed we are by you to give us that. Help us to serve our families and love our families and honor our families well. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.